WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Mike Brammer, and we're going to talk about Notre Dame's disappointing loss in the NCAA tournament to Washington State in the second round. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post it on the website, domeanddomer.com. I tell you what, I thought a couple observations from the game just to get things going here. Washington State did a tremendous job of taking us out of our game and dictating the style of game that we're going to be played, that was going to be played. And, you know, I don't know if this is right or wrong. My observation was, particularly in the first half, it was almost as if our mentality was to say, fine, we'll play your game and we'll beat you at it. But we couldn't, and we're not even competitive. And I say that because, and Mike, I don't know if you observed this as well, the offensive style that we were playing, sort of that double high stack, with, you know, our post players setting, setting up like the elbows, it looked like, the whole first half, it looked like we were playing in the last 3 minutes of the game. You know how our offense kind of gets a little stagnant as we try to make the game, we try to shorten the game if we're in the last couple minutes of a ball game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
it looked like the first half. In the first half, that's what we looked like. And then the second half, it was as if at the locker room they said, okay, let's go back to our basketball. And we came out very aggressive to start the second half, made a run, but could never quite get over the top.
Yeah, no, for the most part, I tend to agree. I mean, I would say in the first half, for some reason, that seemed like we were pretty surprised that they doubled down on Herring Gotti. It didn't look like we got to the right spots that we needed to, but overall, I think I agree with you. It just seemed like our take was, hey, look, we'll let you guys dictate the pace of this game, and we're just going to play that pace, and we'll beat you. Whereas all year long, we've done nothing but push the ball up the court, and we had no interest in doing that whatsoever. Now, I don't know if, you know, it just seemed like that was the game plan that we went with. And we were cold. I mean, I'd take it for granted. We just didn't hit any shots. But
well, they had a lot to do with that, right? I mean,
yeah,
don't you think?
I thought so. I thought they defended well on the three. I think the thing that surprised me well so much was just how well they defended Herring Gotti down low. I mean, they ran at him, and then they immediately closed on the skip pass. And a couple times Herring Gotti threw it away. But, I mean, there were some other strange things going on. I mean, there was some really bad play on our part. I mean, you know, McElhinney fouling that guy by putting his arms around him. I mean, I think that was part of a frustration foul. But even still, there were some balls that we threw away that, you know, just weren't even close. I hate to say that we were tentative. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, there were several miscues on our part that were not normal for this team.
No, we certainly were out of character, and that, I guess, goes back to the first observation is it was like we consciously decided we're not even going to try to play our style of game, we'll play their game. But we, for whatever reason, we were really out of character, did not play our brand of basketball, certainly on the offensive side. Now, you touched upon a couple things with their defense, particularly as it relates to Herring Gotti in the post. Two things that I noticed. One, most of the time, Herring Gotti never got the ball in a good position in the post. He was pushed way off the block a lot of the time, and so I thought they didn't even have to double him when he got the ball so far off the block, which was too often. And when he did get the ball in a good position on the block and the double team came, we didn't execute real well. I thought a couple times when he tried to pass out of the double team, you know, maybe the ball was off target a little bit, and that allowed Washington State to get back and recover on the shooters. And then a couple times I felt like, you know, all year long we would make the one extra pass, and we didn't do that on Saturday. We didn't make the one extra pass to reverse the ball when the double, you know, when the double team came. Again, out of character. I don't know why that was.
Yeah,
now flip it around.
There were definitely a lot of things that were out of character. I mean, especially when we made that run in the second half, McElhinney hit that three and got fouled. He ended up missing the free throw. But, you know, at that point, we cut it to 38-31. We come down with the ball, and immediately, 7 seconds in, Herring Gotti takes an off-balance fadeaway jumper from, you know, 18 feet.
I know, we could get that shot. We could get that shot anytime, right? I mean, let's work it a little bit. I don't mind McElhinney taking a quick shot, Ayers. You know, there's a lot of guys that you'd say, okay, fine. But Heron Godey from that range, that quickly into the possession, when it was the key possession of the game, I didn't get that.
Yeah, and you got to wonder. I mean, I don't know what was going through Bray's mind and what he was saying at the timeouts, but it just never seemed that we got in any kind of a sync whatsoever offensively for whatever it was we were trying to do. I thought Washington State did another good job of hedging on the screen up top, and after seeing that, I thought that sooner or later we're just going to go ahead and do a screen the screener. Have Torrey Jackson set that screen and then have somebody come and screen on Torrey Jackson's guy, and we never did that. I mean, we never seemed to get out of that high offensive set that we were in, and we never got any good looks, and the ball was never going down deep enough down low. It resulted in 41 points for us. That
unbelievable
4% shooting. I mean, it was the worst offensive outing in the Mike Bray era. I mean, that was as bad as it's been.
That's as bad as it can get. Now, defensively, I think we should not be fooled by the 60 points. That's, we holding them, quote, holding them to 60, I think had more to do with their style of play than it had to do with our defense, because I thought we played very poor defense. We couldn't figure out how to defend their screens all night long, whether it was ball screens or off-ball screens. I mean, they would set, again, to each side, those posts would set screens on, free throw line extended, and their guards just carved us up. Coming off those screens, sometimes they'd fade, sometimes they'd curl around the screens, and we had no clue. And why is it that so often we end up switching on the screens when we end up with a horrible mismatch, and then our guys don't ever seem to know how to switch back, to get back to the original matchup? It was puzzling. It really was.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. In fact, in the worst way against Washington State, for some reason, when that switch did occur, we made no effort to switch it back, even when the ball was shifting all the way around to the other side of the court.
Right,
There was one instance where Torrey Jackson was on their bigger guy.
He did okay, though, didn't he? Because Jackson plays a lot bigger than he is.
He does, but the fact of the matter is, at that point, you've got to switch it up. I mean, it's a skip pass. But, Washington State made that pass when the double team came, and that guy was wide open. I mean, there was a lot of dump and dishes by their guards in the lane that resulted in layups, and we didn't get any of those on our end.
Right. Again, their 61 points had nothing to do with our defense. You know what I mean? I just felt like if they were an up-tempo team, they would have scored 85 points, given how many easy shots they had.
Yeah, and it's just frustrating all together. I mean, we were 3 of 17 from 3, but, I mean, take that into account, the fact of the matter, they were out in our face. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of open looks. And the open looks we did have was basically McElhinney pulling up from way deep.
They were just excellent on defense, and they have been all year. They were, I think, third in the country in points allowed. And, I guess in the postseason, good defense beats good offense. Good pitching beats good hitting. That's what they say, and I think that really played itself out. It was not our best effort.
No, it's not. I think the most frustrating thing with all of this is, going into the tournament, I was originally saying that, hey, a loss in the first round is devastating. A second-round loss would be disappointing. But this borders on back to devastation.
No, it doesn't.
I think
we played.
I mean, it's pathetic how bad we played.
It is. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about the implications for the season, what you take away from this season. You're saying that this is a devastating loss, so finish the thought. Does that mean you feel this season was disappointing?
It's disappointing from the standpoint that it's going to really put a sour taste in these guys' mouth going into next season. I mean, they certainly played well in the Big East. There's nothing wrong. I never want to say that one game makes a season, and I'll agree that you take this game away, and in stretches we really played some good basketball. But I think that, ultimately for us, Notre Dame fans, looking back on our tournament experience the last 20 years, I mean, you'd like to see us get into it and be competitive and make it to the final 16. I think everybody was thinking that, all right, we got a good shot of getting to the Sweet 16 this year. And to have that feeling ripped away from you because you just played absolutely pathetically, I mean, that's what's the tough pill to swallow.
Okay, hang on now. Hang on a minute. For one, our tournament history over the last 20 years doesn't exist. It exists over the last 8 years that Mike Bray's been here. And in those five NCAA tournament bids, we've advanced four of the five times to the second round and once to this round of 16. And given that this is a program that hadn't been there the previous 10 years at all, I'm not dissatisfied with what we've been able to do postseason-wise. I was hoping for a Sweet 16 run as well. I think this team wasn't quite built to make a deep run because of the defensive shortcomings. But to me, no way does this loss diminish what happened in the season. And you mentioned, hey, these guys have a sour taste in their mouth. Good! I want them to have a sour taste in their mouth. That's what the offseason is built on and feeds off of, is that crappy taste you have in your mouth when you lose, and particularly play badly and lose. And that motivation might serve us really well when next year we're the veteran team who had their hearts ripped out in the NCAA. And that's what's going to motivate this year's group for next year's run, when we should be, you know, we should be dynamite next year.
Yeah, other than the fact that that's exactly the scenario that played out last year. I mean, we had the first.
Whoa! No, it's not.
It's a younger team, but I mean, you lose in the first round like that against a team that you should beat. I mean, that's what puts that sour taste in your mouth going into this season. And arguably, we went one game deeper in the tournament. The fact of the matter is, it's an ugly loss that you don't want to see. And, you know, that's the tough pill to swallow. I'm certainly not disappointed in the season, don't get me wrong. I mean, these guys played well to finish third in the Big East, with what we were looking at going in. I mean, that's a heck of an accomplishment. And winning at home, you know, I mean, there's two things we got going for us right now as regular season teams go, but you'd like to close it out with a real good showing in the tourney, and that's unfortunately what we don't have right now.
Well, I would agree with you. If you're gonna look at anything about this season from a negative standpoint, it's the Big East first round game and the second round NCAA game make you feel, you know, like, yeah, the season didn't end the way you wanted it to. I understand that. However, those things do not outweigh the long list of positives. And when you compare last year's sour taste to this year, maybe last year's sour taste is what allowed this year's group to do what they did, despite having lost two first-team All-Big East players off last year's team. I mean, clearly nobody thought we were going to do what we did this year, by evidence of the fact we were picked eighth or ninth in the Big East. So I don't know that you can make comparisons between, you know, you seem to be saying, yeah, well, last year we had a bad taste in our mouth too, and what good did that do us? I think it did us a lot of good. And I think the future is very bright. All the arrows are pointing up. And this loss, although horribly disappointing because we played so badly, is, in the big picture, not devastating. No comments to that?
I'm agreeing with you to a certain extent. It's just tough to swallow. I mean, you just hate. I mean, this whole idea of the anti-Notre Dame crowd out there, the naysayers, I mean, it's fuel for the fire for those guys. That you know, that we go out the way that we do, and that's just the tough thing. I mean, I would have really not had a problem whatsoever if we lose in a close round game to a Washington State team that when it gets to this level, the 4-5 game, I mean, it's really anybody's game. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of season you had. When it comes down to this, it's anybody's game. You just hate to see it end like it did, where we were just not in the game from the get-go. I mean, pretty much 5 minutes in, the game was got away from us, and we never really got close. And that's the thing that's just tough to take, especially after playing so well the entire season for the most part.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough pill to swallow. No doubt about that. But you know, we'll come back on another show and kind of recap the season, talk a little bit more about, some of the highlights and just how high is the ceiling for this team next year and this program. We also are going to do a show coming up on spring football, which starts in a few days. So you know, it's time to turn our attention towards Charlie Weiss and the crew, and trying to recover from last year's 3-9 season. But until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. Send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post a comment on the website, domeanddomer.com. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.